greet everyone. We'll begin with prayer. Gracious Lord, a lot of attention in the media is given to wars and battles around the world. Help us recognize that we are in the middle of a war ourselves, one that doesn't get a lot of attention, but is even more significant than any war or battle happening in this world. Bless our time today as we discuss spiritual warfare, as you have given us insights in your word, that we may be better prepared to fight for you and be protected by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you have a diagram on the front there. It's just kind of something you can look at if you're so inclined. But it's kind of a summary of what we'll be talking about today. Next page or flip side for you. Are we in a spiritual war?
Always.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always. Is it something that we often think about? It's not a question in your handouts, but is this something that we typically think about, that we are in a spiritual war?
I think often I do think about it.
I think a lot of times it's not something we think about until we find ourselves in struggles or difficulties or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. My family had quite a day yesterday. My younger sister is in intensive care Midland with congestive heart failure.
Oh, no.
Okay. My mother and father-in-law fell. My mother-in-law hit her head. She had a CT scan. She's okay, thank the Lord. My father-in-law refused to get checked out. He could have broken ribs for all we know. It's not funny, but it's funny that he won't get checked out.
Can he
breathe easy? Yeah, apparently he's got a lot of pain as he moves around, but if he thinks they're just bruised, I guess. My youngest son had his heart broken by a gal that he really, really cared about.
Aww.
Which is not a
trust in women. Oh, I didn't say that.
Same could be said for men.
Oh, come on.
At any rate, this is not an opportunity to just go into all the stuff that's going on in our family, but rather, you've all had times like that in your lives, where you have all kinds of stuff going on, and you get slammed with one thing, and then you get slammed with another thing.
Everything comes in threes.
Oh, yeah, well, I think it came in six in our family yesterday. Cheryl's got some special things. She's dealing with a special needs child that needs a lot of attention at school. At any rate, but you go through times like that, and it's more than just a rough time. It's important that we recognize that we're under spiritual attack. That Satan is going to do whatever he can to undermine our confidence, undermine our optimism, undermine our faith in our Lord, our assurance in the promises that God gives us. And we all go through times like that. And sometimes Satan's attacks are very subtle, but seductive. Other times, they're just full frontal attack. And he'll do whatever he can to undermine us and our relationship with our Lord and our confidence in God's word. So I had this picked out actually before yesterday happened. It's kind of interesting how that all transpired. How do we know that we are in a spiritual war? I kind of got into that a little bit. What are your thoughts? How do we know that we're in a spiritual war?
Like for me, it's doubt. Like what you were just you're doubting what God has in store. You're, you know.
Yep. And Maddie, that's a big one. That's a big one that is so challenging for us, because we want the proof. We want to know. And faith is not knowing. It's confidence of what we do not know. Right? Certainty of what we hope for. Hebrews 11:1. Any other thoughts? How do we know that we're in a spiritual war?
Lord, I was wondering why did he let that happen to me, or why does he let that happen to someone in care about?
Yeah, well, and why? That's a big one, right? Yeah. Why is this happening to our family or me or somebody I know or love?
Yeah.
Why is this happening in the world or our community or whatever it may be?
Right. Struggling right now, world.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Any other thoughts? How does this war show itself in our world and in our life? Just toss out thoughts. How does this war show itself in our world and in our life?
Well, our politics are a mess. Countries are in war.
Turmoil in the world?
Yeah.
Good. Turmoil in the world?
When I see these stories that are, you know, that suddenly what was sinful 100 years ago is no longer sinful, they accept it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, being a former Catholic, when the Pope, to me, he's way up there in left field, but a couple years ago he said that he couldn't bless sin. 3 years later, now he's saying that same-sex marriages are okay. You know,
they can
he
come
turned
to the
around,
church,
he's, instead of preaching the word of God and saying, hey, salvation is this, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, oh, the Pope must be okay. All the false teachings here on TV.
Sure. Okay. Excellent. So you even see it in the spiritual realm where you would hope you wouldn't see it.
Right.
Good. Other thoughts? Here's what I wrote down. Frustrations. Discouragement. Setbacks. Temptation. Death of loved ones. Stress. Ridicule.
Wow.
Would you agree that those are all signs of spiritual warfare?
Yeah.
And I think Karen said earlier, this is always happening. We're never free from attack. You know, and just, it's, we live in a physical world. Let me back up. I always knew this because I was blessed to be raised in a Christian family. Went to Christian elementary, Lutheran elementary schools, Lutheran high school, all the way up through the seminary. I always knew that there was, the devil and demons and all this stuff, and that they were real and they hated us, wanted to take us to hell. But it wasn't really until I got in the ministry where you begin to see that almost everything has spiritual connotations. Almost everything in the physical has spiritual connections. Does that make sense? When our health is deteriorating, that's a physical thing. All kinds of spiritual attacks come from that, don't they? Discouragement, despair, why? Questions, right? Anger, whatever. That's just one example. You can pick any example you want. You're having trouble at work, having trouble in your family. Whatever you want to choose, there are, in the physical realm, there are spiritual ramifications to it. Spiritual challenges, spiritual attacks. And I think most people, even Christians who know their scriptures really well, don't think about this that much. But there are spiritual aspects to virtually anything that we face in this world. Any questions or comments on that?
Well, I have an experience with my mother that really gave me, so I'm not so troubled about whether there's hell or heaven. When my mother got really sick, I went to the hospital. She was in three different stages. The second day I went there, she was in a straitjacket, and she was very weak. She had cancer. And she said, these demons, she said, see these demons, Karen? They're coming to get me. My name's on the wall. And I said to her, well, God's not going to let the devil get your soul. And so then the next day she was herself again. And when I went to see her the next week, she passed. But I went to see her before that, and she said to me, don't worry about me, Karen, because I've seen where I'm going and it's beautiful.
Huh.
And I've kept that in my mind because my mother was not a person to, you know, it hadn't gone to her brain or anything like that. So it kind of gives me encouragement that, yeah, maybe he comes and shows us where we're going when you're in turmoil.
When you're in the ministry long enough, you hear some remarkable things. Yep. And God ministers to his people in many remarkable ways. And gives insights and blesses in a lot of different ways that we maybe don't expect or think about. So just that's and I believe that with all my heart that God ministers to us, and sometimes usually in general ways, but sometimes in very wonderful, miraculous ways.
Well, and her pastor happened to be at the hospital that day, and he said to me, "That is not your mother." She said, because it was the weirdest thing, and she said some horrible things to him, because I guess the devil, you know, I don't know. But then I took her later, because she said she wanted to go talk to him, because she felt like she had something had happened there. So she did. I took her there, and she got that all straightened out, and then she said that to me.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen, for sharing that. How often does this war affect us?
Every day.
Every day.
24/7.
Every day, 24/7. The armor of God. Why don't we join together in just reading through these passages? And there, all the verses are listed there, and the questions will have the verses that they're referred to in them. So you can turn back to this, or if you want your Bible open to Ephesians 6, you can do that too. But let's read it together. We won't read the verses, of course. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Saints being believers. Verse 10. Where, what, who are some of the things that people typically look to for strength in this world?
The Lord.
Yes, ultimately that's where we should look. But before we get there, what are some areas or people or things that the people of the world typically look to for help in tough times?
Themselves.
Themselves.
Other people.
Other people.
Like some people will do drugs, or some people will drink to make them feel better.
Yep.
But they're your
crutch. Your crutch. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Look to other things to help them.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Other thoughts? possessions. Education, occupation, family, government.
No.
That may not be high on your list, but it's high on some people's lists.
It's a necessary thing. Necessary evil, so to say.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. So there's all kinds of different places that people will go to for strength. Self-help books, counselors, mm-hmm. whatever else it may be. YouTube.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that not true?
TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. This is not in your handouts, but what is the thing that all of these earthly items have in common?
They're all temporary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not the answer.
They're unreliable. Yeah. They don't have all the answers. They're unreliable. Where are we to go for true power, Martha?
The Lord.
Well done. And his word, right? In fact, what does verse 10 say? What does Paul inspired to write there?
Lord, his mighty power
of the Lord. Yeah, the mighty power of the Lord. And how strong is the Lord? We were just talking about this in catechism yesterday. All powerful. Anybody remember the omni word for that?
Our memories aren't that good.
Omnipotent. All powerful. Remember what the other omni words are, by the way? When we're talking about the characteristics of God, omnipotence, all powerful.
Omniscient
is?
All knowing,
very good.
Omnipresent?
Yep, present everywhere, very good. Yep. Next page, verse 11. What is the purpose of putting on armor?
Protection.
What's that?
To
protect yourself. Yeah. What is the purpose of putting on the armor of God, as Paul writes?
To protect yourself from the devil.
Yeah, it's the ultimate protection, right?
Yeah.
The armor of God, you can't get any better protection than that. And why should we put on the full armor of God?
Well, because evil's always...
Yes, absolutely. Well, let me state it this way. So, you didn't sleep much the night before because you know you're going into battle the next morning. Morning's there. You're getting ready to go attack the enemy, whoever that may be. And you're looking at your pile of armor. And you say, you know what? I don't really think I'm going to put that breastplate on because I don't feel like wearing that today, or it doesn't look good on me. What's the risk you run if you don't put on the full armor of God?
You could get hurt.
Yeah, you leave yourself exposed. A soldier never wants to go into battle partially armored. One of the reasons, for example, that the Roman Empire was so very effective in battle is because of their weapons and armor. And by the way, that's what Paul is writing about here. He's using the illustration of a Roman soldier and all the things they put on before battle to give spiritual truths. I mean, you look at the picture on the front page. That's a Roman soldier. Okay? You look at that Roman soldier, and he's got all the key parts of his body protected. Many of the enemies or the people that Rome were attacking, those men came into battle with sometimes hardly anything in regard to armor. They didn't stand much of a chance against a fully weaponed and armored Roman legion. So we want to put on the full armor of God so nothing is exposed, so we are as protected as we possibly can be. Give some examples of how the devil schemes against us. In other words, what are some of the attacks that the devil uses to try to harm us spiritually?
Illness?
Yep. Illness is a good one.
Anger.
Okay.
What did she say?
Anger. Oh.
What I said earlier, doubt.
Doubt. Very good. Temptation. Yeah. Pride. Peers. And some general words for some of the things that you mentioned. Problems. Distractions. These are all ways the devil comes after us. He has almost unlimited resources and opportunities. He'll come at us many, many different ways. Verse 12. How are our enemies described? So, first, yep, you're on it, Maddie. So, first of all?
So, our struggles are other people.
Is not just people. Yeah. Not just people right. Of flesh and blood. Right. It's something different. Bigger. What is it?
Rulers, authorities.
The rulers of this dark world. The authorities of this dark world. The powers of this dark world. And that's not just talking about physical government, okay? When you're talking about this dark world, he's talking about the spiritual world of unbelief. Spiritual darkness. So it's the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world. Who is that? Yeah. And he, Paul writes about the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. When he's talking about heavenly realms, he's talking about the spiritual world, okay? Questions or comments on that? That's quite a description when you stop and think about that. We've talked about this before, I'm pretty confident, but a lot of times, you know, the devil is kind of pictured as the guy in the long red pajamas that can't ever seem to get anything right, sits on your left shoulder, right, and is a bumbling idiot. The devil loves it when we picture him like that. And maybe, have you ever seen that, Maddie? Maybe you got to be older.
That's where they get kids.
Oh, what's that?
I said that's where they get in kids' minds.
Yeah.
Is when they have cartoons like
that. Absolutely.
It's funny.
Yeah, you know? Right. It's intended to be funny. And the devil loves it when we look at him like that, that he's a bumbling idiot. He's not a bumbling idiot. You look, just look at this verse, and you see, I actually kind of get shudders as I read through that, that our foe, our spiritual enemy, is anything but a bumbling idiot. He is a powerful, ferocious, spiritual enemy.
Right, because we look today and we say, look, the devil's taking over. You know, where's God or what's going on? Because it's just everywhere, you know.
And that's a scary thing because the more influence he has, the more influence he can gain.
Yeah, right.
Is it, I've seen different things. My first example is the Monster Energy drink. I had once heard that the sign, the M, is the mark of the beast, and then whatever numbers they have on it, or like he hides. And is that?
I hadn't heard that, Maddie, but you know that those sort of rumors have been around for all kinds of different things.
Right. Yes, that's the first example I could think of. But
even rock groups, you know, AC/DC was supposedly against Christ. But those ideas are around all around, and some of it I think is probably just wise marketing, trying to catch attention from people who kind of want to rebel or whatever. But having said that, he is sneaky, and he shows himself. Sometimes obviously, but often very subtly.
Right.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that before.
So we don't drink Monster.